And we'll conclude this series next week. But this morning, we're going to take a look at the third part in the Jabez prayer, which is his request, and he's saying, "Let your hand be with me." Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are so thankful to be here this morning. We thank you that we can always come to you seeking that hand, seeking your strength, seeking you. We ask the Holy Spirit's involvement in this sermon. We ask the Holy Spirit's involvement in our life and in the life of this church. Be with us, guide us and direct us in your precious Son's name. Amen. I'm going to do the same thing we've done the last couple Sundays, in that we're going to read the passage of our prayer together. It's in your bulletins. If you don't have your bulletin, it's 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. Or it's in the bulletin. Nate read it a little bit earlier. Let's read that together. All together. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Now, about a month ago, we began this series talking, and I was taking a peek at Jabez and who Jabez was and why was he praying this prayer at this particular point in his life. What was going on in his life? Noting that his name was one that could have tied him to a life of bitterness. Because what was his name? What was the meaning of his name? Pain. It wasn't like a wrestler, right? He wasn't some WWE, WWF wrestler with the name Pain. His parents gave him that name. He chose to rise above that name and become a noble man. Scripture actually says, become more noble than his brothers. And looking at this prayer, we saw that the very first part of it, where Jabez was asking for God's blessings, asking for God to bless his life, rather than being a selfish prayer, it was actually a crying out to God to shower Jabez with everything that God wanted for him. Not what he wanted for himself, but what God wanted for him. He said, "God, I want your blessings for my life." He didn't point out specifics. Realizing that without the blessings of God, he had no hope of accomplishing the task that was set before him. Last week, we looked at the second part of this prayer, which was, "Enlarge my territory." And said that it was more than just a request for more land, more real estate. It was also a request for more responsibility. It was a request for more influence for God. And today, we're going to take a look at the Jabez request that God's hand would be with him. I want us to leave here today excited. I'm going to say it again. I want us to leave here today excited about asking God to be involved in our lives, involved in this church, involved in our service to Him. But I first have to ask the question, why did Jabez seek God's hand? I mean, why not ask for God's mighty arm? Why not ask for God's caring arms? Why not ask for God's broad shoulders or strong back? Why not ask for God's strength or God's wisdom? I mean, what was the significance in asking for God's hand? I've read this verse, I've read the scripture numerous times, but in studying for this past week, it kept playing over my mind. Why his hand? Why his hand? Does anybody else think that? Anybody else trying to figure out Why did he ask God for his hand? I mean, am I the only one that finds it ironic that in the very middle of asking for God's blessings, God bless me with whatever you have for me, and in the middle of that, he's asking for God's blessings in his life, he's asking, let your hand be on me. This line stood out to me, and it made me think, I mean, what exactly was he getting at with this request? I couldn't help but think that there was more to it than just Jabez trying to ask for a handshake. I started thinking about Austin. I started thinking about my son. And when he was younger, we would walk hand in hand. When he felt scared or apprehensive about something, he would reach out and he would take my hand. When he was little and was doing something that was new or not familiar to him, he would immediately look and grab for my hand. I remember picking him up from preschool after a day-long separation from Sarah and I, and he would come running up and he would throw his arms around my neck. He'd give me a big hug, and then he would reach for my hand. And then we'd walk hand in hand to the truck. I remember going to Walmart or a restaurant, and when he would get out of the car or get out of the truck, he would look for Sarah or at my hand. And then we would walk hand in hand through that parking lot and even through that store. He's gotten older. He's now to the age where he doesn't hold our hand. He's gotten too big for that. For all the parents that have children that are approaching those teenage years, you know what I'm talking about. Timmy, you know what I'm talking about? But for everyone here that's a parent, I want you to think back. Think back at those times when you used to walk hand in hand with your child. Picture that. Some here, you're already there. You've got the small children where you can walk with them hand in hand. I didn't realize what that feeling felt like until it got to the point where Austin said, I'm good, Dad. I'm good. I see those cars in the parking lot. I'm not going to run out in front of them. You don't realize what that feeling feels like until it's gone. So think back. If you have it now, cherish it. If you're past that point, think back. You know what that felt like. There's nothing quite like that feeling, is it? There's nothing quite like that feeling when your child wants to sit on your lap, have a hug, or just hold your hand. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? We've got this mental picture in our mind right now of holding our child's hand as we walk, whatever we might do. We're holding our child's hand. We love that feeling. I don't know what it is. It just feels good. And I believe that when Jabez cried out in prayer, oh, that your hand would be with me, that was the one part in that prayer that particularly touched God's heart. And part of the reason this would have appealed to God would have been that many people today, many Christians today, wouldn't have asked for that. Many people don't want God's hand upon them. Or they'd feel like they don't need God's hand on them. They don't want God's hand in their life. Something else has gotten their attention. Or perhaps they just want to run their lives the way they think it should be run. They've gotten too independent. Just like Austin, being 12 years old, he thinks he's independent. That may explain why one of the most popular religious phrases of our nation today is, God helps those who help themselves. Did you realize that in a nationwide poll, 82% of Americans said they believe that that phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is a direct quote from the Bible. You might be thinking that too. It's nowhere in the Bible. It's not Scripture. You know where it came from? Let me tell you about it. The saying comes from Aesop's Fables. The story goes like this. Let me read it to you. A wagoner was driving a heavy load along a very muddy way. He came to the part of the road where the wheels sank halfway into the mire. And the more the horse pulled, the deeper the wheels sank. So the wagoner threw down his whip and knelt down and prayed to Hercules. Oh, Hercules, help me in this hour of distress. But Hercules appeared to him and said, man, don't sprawl there. Get up and put your shoulder to the wheel. The gods help them that help themselves. In other words, one of the most popular religious phrases in America isn't biblical at all. It's actually pagan. Jabez, he wasn't pagan. From all we can determine from his prayer, this was a man who studied the Scripture. Listen to me. Almost every part of this phrase in this short prayer was based upon something he had read from the Scripture about how God took care of his people. And Jabez knew for a fact that God didn't help those who helped themselves. God helped only those who were smart enough to lean on him and obey. Amen? From what Jabez had read, God's people were at their strongest when they took hold of God's hand and didn't let go. And they were at their weakest when they tried to go it alone. In other words, when they let go of God's hand. So you're thinking, okay, Donnie, what would Jabez have read from the Bible of his day, which was the first five books of the Bible, what would he have read to let him to pray, let your hand be with me? One passage was probably Exodus 13:14. You don't need to turn there, but I'm going to read it to you. This scripture is referring to the feast of the Passover. It says this, in days to come when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Jabez would have heard the passage in this scripture from his parents year after year after year after year. He didn't have to read. He had it memorized. He knew this. And the one thing this passage would have driven home to him would have been, when you have God's hand in your life, you can be led out of despair and slavery and into the places that you really want to be. His parents probably also told him the stories about how God led all the children of Israel out of Egypt and how when they reached the Red Sea, God's hand split the Red Sea so his people could pass on dry ground. And when the pursuing Egyptian army followed, God's hand released the water and the military might died in that moment. Then Jabez's parents would have probably also told him about the time the Israelites stood at the very edge of the promised land. You remember it when Moses sent the 12 spies into the land to scout it out for them? And when they returned, Joshua and Caleb told of all the beautiful land, the beautiful property. But then the other 10 spies spoke with fear about the size of the giants, the land, the strength, the fortified cities. When the Israelites became influenced by the report of the 10, they began to grumble. They began to complain. Because they were too afraid to cross over into that unknown land, that land that God had promised them, because they doubted, they spent the next 40 years in the desert. Caleb and Joshua pleaded with them after they heard those 10 spies. Let me read you what Joshua and Caleb said. It comes from Numbers 14. It says, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid. He will swallow the people up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But all the people talked about stoning them. And because of their disobedience, because they wouldn't listen, they spent those 40 years, the next 40 years, wandering around in the desert. All of these stories would have driven home to Jabez that God's people were the strongest when they were led by God's hand. But they were at their weakest when they tried to go it alone, meaning when they let go of God's hand. Jabez had already asked in his prayer, one, to receive the blessings, and two, to have God enlarge his territory. And he knew that these could only be accomplished if he were led by God's hand. For people like Jabez, the issue would not have been to have God follow where Jabez wanted to go, but rather for Jabez to be led wherever God wanted him to go. If that were done, then Jabez knew he would be blessed and his territory would be enlarged. He knew he couldn't have one without the other. I heard something the other day, and it goes like this. If God is your co-pilot, you better swap seats. Abraham Lincoln understood that idea. In the middle of the Civil War, someone commented that God had to be on the side of the Union because that side was right. Lincoln commented, "I'm not all concerned about that, for we know that the Lord is always on the side of right, but it is my constant prayer that I and this nation should choose to be on the Lord's side." Jabez was a man who wanted to be successful, and he knew he couldn't do it without God. The lesson for us is that if we want to be successful in our business, in our family, in our marriage, and in this church, then we need God as our pilot, not as our co-pilot. We need Him to lead us. We need His hand. All through the Old Testament, leading up to the prayer of Jabez, you read about the power and the security and the comfort that comes from the hand of God. And Jabez knew it. That's why he asked specifically for the hand of God to be with him. Jabez recognized that if God were to grant his request regarding blessings and expansion of territory, he would need the hand of God to help him handle it. Jabez sought God's hand in his life because he knew how desperately he needed it. Simply stated, Jabez knew his own limitations. He knew that his strength alone was insufficient for life's journey. So he pleaded with God for his hand to be with him. Jabez needed God's comfort. He needed God's security. He needed to know that his hand was on him. He needed to know that he was hand in hand with God. If you're here today and you're a parent, do you remember or recall the feeling you got, or you still get, when your children look up at you and they stretch out their little hand and they say, "Daddy, Mommy, hold my hand. Daddy, Mommy, take my hand. Daddy, Mommy, will you hold my hand?" They do that because there's comfort. They do that because there's security in it. They feel good when you hold their hand, and you feel good when they're holding yours. We can recall what that feeling feels like and how warm it made us feel. Now imagine this. Our God gets the same feelings and more when we want to hold His hand. When we say, "Daddy, will you hold my hand? Daddy, will you take my hand and lead me through what I'm going through? Daddy, grasp my hand and don't let go. Daddy, I just need your hand. As parents, we also can recall the feelings when our children get to the point when they think they're too old or too independent to hold our hands anymore. We think about the times when our children wanted to sit on our laps and give us the hugs and grab us by the hand, tell us they love us and that we love them. Our God can recall the same thing. Our God wants the same thing from His children, from us. We never get too old to reach out and ask God to take our hand. We never get too old to say, God, I need your hand. God, will you hold my hand? The God of the universe wants to hold your hand. He wants you to feel comfort. He wants you to feel secure in everything you have going on. He wants you to feel comfort and security in the middle of your circumstances. And get this, He, God, loves the feeling. God loves the feeling. Loves the feeling that He gets when you trust Him enough to say, Daddy, take my hand. Daddy, hold my hand. The hand of the Lord is a blessing. But He's waiting for you to ask Him, Lord, let your hand be with me. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so very, very thankful that You are always there. You're always there with the hand stretched out saying, I'm here. I'm just waiting for You. Thank You for that opportunity. We ask You again to be with us, be with this church. Let Your will be done in our lives and in the life of this church. In Your precious Son's name, amen.